The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Today's show is brought to you by the Brothers Karamazov. Not the book, the actual brothers themselves.
They love Eric and wanted to support him, so they decided to sponsor the show.
Is that not amazing?
And Dostoevsky doesn't know a thing about it.
And he invented them.
Now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Thanks, Todd. What a kid. What a kid. What a swell pal.
Yeah.
Albin, today's Monday, which means yesterday was Sunday, and
beautiful Sunday.
That means the weekend's over, and here we are. Now, listen, a lot to talk about. First of all, we've got a spectacular week. Spectacular week. We're starting out in this hour. We're talking to Judge Tom Cole, whose daughter, she was 20 or 21 years old, was murdered. He's a judge. The experience of that, of course, changed his life. He came to faith. Today's Miracle Monday. When you hear the story, you're going to understand miracles happen today. It's unbelievable, really. So Judge Tom Cole, Miracle Monday, that's hour one today. In hour two today, we have Scott Adams, the creator of Dilbert. That's all I will say. He has, I tell you, he is a truly original thinker.
He is.
And he has some thoughts, the creator of Dilbert in hour two. I want to talk about a few things. I was attacked in the New York Times yesterday by Pete Wehner. Pete Wehner is somebody that he's attacking me. He attacked me in the Washington Post the other day. He doesn't like me. And I don't dislike him. I just get confused by why he thinks the way he does. I actually think he's not thinking. I think he's being emotional. But here's what the title of the piece is in yesterday's New York Times. Christian doomsayers have lost it. I guess I'm a Christian doomsayer now. He says, aren't I too chipper to be a doomsayer? I think I'm way too chipper to be a doomsayer. He says, the view that Trump is all that stands between America and a moral cataclysm was encapsulated by Eric Metaxas, an influential evangelical author and radio talk show host, who said in 2016, quote, this is what I said, and I still agree with every syllable, the only time we faced an existential struggle like this was in the Civil War and in the Revolution when the nation began. We are on the verge of losing it as we could have lost it in the Civil War. Now, I said that, and I still agree with that, because the media is not really presenting the narrative, and obviously this narrative is lost on Pete Wehner, but that we have many things that are in a crisis. It's kind of like a country that at some point they go into debt so bad, so deep, that they will never recover. It's like what happened to Greece or Venezuela. It can happen to a country, not just financially. So anyway, I've explained this at other points, but he says, he goes on in the article, to deride yours truly by saying, this wasn't just election year rhetoric. Last year, Mr. Metaxas told the journalist John Ward that while he did not mean to compare Hillary Clinton to Adolf Hitler, quote, Christians, this is me speaking, Christians who think the church in America might have survived a Hillary Clinton presidency are something like the devout Christian Germans who seriously and prayerfully thought it unchristian to be involved in opposing Hitler because to do so would have dirtied their hands with politics. Now, of course, I still agree with my statement, and just because it's in the New York Times in a piece attempting to discredit that position doesn't make it any the less true. I wasn't speaking out of turn. I really do believe that religious liberty is the issue of our time and that we have a cultural elite, usually a globalist elite, that sneers at the old-fashioned idea that, you know, we can have a country that tolerates Christians who believe in marriage between a man and a woman and whatever. The country was founded on religious liberty and obviously on people who believe those things. But people like Hillary Clinton, if elected, would elect judges that would do everything they can to wipe that away and to criminalize living out your faith as a Christian or as a serious Muslim or as a serious Jew. They are simply imposing a view that the state has to crush religious liberty. And that goes way beyond religious liberty. It goes to everything, because once you kill religious liberty, you've killed freedom in America. Now, that's just the thumbnail version of it. But it's just fascinating that Pete Wehner earnestly believes that I'm being histrionic. But this is the last line of his article. This takes the cake. He says, Jesus didn't view the world primarily as a battle zone. Neither should we. And I thought, what? Jesus thought of the world only as a battle zone between good and evil, freedom and slavery, life and death, truth and lies. And anybody...
I think he just came here as a nice guy.
He just meant to be a nice guy and to serve the poor. That's really all it is. But it's so funny because here you have the Salvation Army serving the poor for 150 years. They've been serving the poor. But because they don't kowtow to the trans agenda, they are suddenly considered persona non grata. And by the way, well, what he says in this article, and there's another article he wrote in The Atlantic where he scorns me as well, I think. And he talks to Tim Keller, and they seem to conclude that the position of Christians is just to faithfully be there in the culture serving the poor. And I have to say, that's absolute nonsense. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to faithfully serve the poor while we proclaim the truth, while we stand up for justice, while we decry slavery and every kind of injustice, while we speak up for freedom. So the idea that the gospel should only be religious and we should quietly just, you know, do the good work of serving the poor is virtually Marxism. It's insanity.
Anybody can serve the poor. Any good person can serve the poor.
I was just going to say, like, the idea that the Salvation Army has always served the poor better than anybody, and they boldly proclaim gospel. They don't say, well, we don't want you to know why we're doing this. We're just eat the food and maybe someday you'll know. Anyway, it's dramatically silly what he has concluded here.
And this is good dovetailing off into CSI, Christian Solidarity.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
We've raised $44,000, but folks, we got a long way to go. Yeah. Let's talk about religious liberty. In Africa, black on black, you have slavery being imposed by blacks who are radical Muslims upon other black Africans. They think it's fine. They get away with it. Their government allows them to get away with it. We could do something about it. And we are doing a big fundraiser right now, folks. We want you to go to MetaxasTalk.com. And please know, this is like going back in time. If somebody said, hey, if you could go back to 1850 and free a slave, would you do it? Is there anybody that would say, nah? Well, guess what? We can go back in time. We don't need to go back in time. We can, for $250, if you give to CSI, they have the ability, they have relationships in that part of the world where for $250, you want to think about something you can do for Christmas? For $250, in the name of a relative, you can say to your mother or your father or somebody like, hey, in your name, we freed a slave. What they do, of course, is they don't pay money because they don't want to incentivize these people by paying them money. They go to them and say, listen, you've got all these cattle. They're dying. We have a cattle vaccine, very expensive. We will give you the vaccine to use for your cattle if you give us that human being, that young girl that you're raping and enslaving. Give her to us. They will make the trade. They will take that girl and they will walk her often many nights in a row because it's dangerous to safety in South Sudan. And you folks have the ability to do that. We have all kinds of prizes that we want to give you, things to incentivize you. But I want to tell you, folks, this is the opportunity of a lifetime. It's a magnificent opportunity. Thanks to CSI, we get to offer this to you. Please take advantage of this. There's a rarely a time when you can do something so spectacular for so little. Anything you can give, of course, gets you registered in our drawing. But I want to tell you, those of you who can give $250, $500, $1,000, and more, folks, please, we really need your help. This is the moral issue of our day. This goes way beyond religious liberty. This is what happens when you don't have religious liberty. We need to put our money where our mouths are. God bless you as you give. Go to MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see the banner. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Such a beautiful little puppy. I mean, we walk around the block and neighbors always say, her hair is so beautiful.
Healthy and shiny and glossy.
DINOVITE.com.
Fatty acids, omega-3s and omega-6s are great for healthy skin and soft, shiny coats.
I would really recommend people starting their puppies on Dynavite before they get into what I would call the misery index. Bad skin, bad ears, bad breath.
Because if they're getting all their vitamins, micronutrients, microbials from the beginning, then you're not going to run into the problems associated with the allergies.
Grass, pollen, dust, dirt, fleas, ticks, you name it,
and the itching and shedding down the road.
Our vitamins and enzymes replace the nutrients cooked out of most commercial dog foods.
Dynavite for life.
This is Ed Lukasiewicz.
And Cindy Lukasiewicz.
Inviting you and your pets to Dynavite.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Hi, I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. If you are a timeshare owner, getting out is probably a top priority. And now that annual maintenance fees are coming due, this ongoing burden and expense is at the top of your list. Thankfully, we can help. Let us do for you what we have done for thousands of others across the country. Our process is done legally, ethically, and quickly. Lone Star Transfer has a 99% success rate and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. We are a family-owned business and will personally make sure your experience is a pleasant one. Don't let another day go by with maintenance fees taking your hard-earned money. Give us a call for a no-obligation consultation at 844-284-4863. That's 844-284-4863 or online at LoneStarTransfer.com. That's LoneStarTransfer.com.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com. You can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/America. That's ZipRecruiter.com/America. One more time. To try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/America.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers, and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of
tea. Hey there, folks. Who doesn't love Burl Ives? I'd like to meet them and get in their face and tell them why they need to love Burl Ives. And who knows anybody named Burl? Well, I know two. Burl Ives and a guy named Burl Cain. I think I've talked about on this program, but my guest today knows Burl Cain, and that's kind of woven into the story. I'm sitting here with a Judge Tom Cole. Tom, first of all, welcome to this program.
Well, thank you for having me here.
Well, it's my privilege. Kevin Palau, a mutual friend, put you in front of me, and I looked into your story, and it's, as many things are, initially horrific and then beautiful. In 2006, your daughter Megan was brutally murdered. The killer was tried and convicted of aggravated murder, and you were able to forgive your daughter's murderer through the power and presence of Jesus in your life. That's a big thing to even say in a sentence, much less to live. But I know you've written a book about it. The book is called Losing Megan, Finding Hope, Comfort, and Forgiveness in the Midst of Murder. You founded a nonprofit, Paid in Full Oregon. So I just want to hear your story and Megan's story, once again, thanks for being willing to come here and talk about it, because there's so many people that this is the question, forgiveness. And when it comes to something like the murder of one's child as a father of a daughter, you know, you realize that that's the ultimate test of faith. So what is your story? Did you grow up in the Northwest?
No, I grew up in Ohio. I was football player in high school. That's the only way I could please my dad. I was doing well in sports, and so I did really well in football because I wanted to please my dad. Ended up getting a scholarship, football scholarship, to the University of Kentucky, and played there for about a year and a half. I had a broken leg, a broken nose, a dislocated jaw, and then I had a career-ending injury called bad attitude, and ended up joining a fraternity locally there. And got worse and worse and worse, doing a lot of drugs and
that's enough
making
pleasing
poor choices.
Dad on the gridiron.
Yeah,
wow.
Right. Yeah.
So you became a judge. So somehow you got out of the death spiral there.
I did. My family moved from Ohio and back to Ohio. Went to law school at the University of Toledo and ended up. I struggled in law school, but I ended up graduating in the top 10% of the lower half of my law school class. And
I want to remember that.
So, moved out to Oregon, practiced law for a while. In 1997, I was appointed to the bench by Governor Kitzhaber there. And
In Oregon. Yeah.
Yep. And so shortly after that, I had another failed marriage. That was my second failed marriage, and ended up getting a divorce. Now I had two angry ex-wives and two angry children. I had two children from that second marriage. And so it took a while to kind of reconnect with my kids. And then I started dating a woman who was a Christian. I always thought I was a Christian, but I started dating a woman named Julie in 2000, and she was a Christian. I'd been a judge for about 3 years then, and was invited to a men's retreat on the Oregon coast. And on November 3rd, 2000, that's when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I realized I couldn't do it on my own anymore.
Wow. So huge, huge moment in your life. And it's kind of funny how sometimes we have to go through pain, you know, before we're either open or willing to accept God in our lives. So yours is a dramatic story. Even before you get to the unbelievably dramatic occurrences of a few years later. So how did your life proceed immediately after your conversion?
Well, it was a huge change. It was a huge change. I ended up getting married to Julie, and it was that there's a Greek word called kairos, which means the moment in time when change is possible, and that was my kairos moment back on November 3rd of 2000. And so continued, my heart changed because I was very harsh towards defendants who were appearing in front of me in court.
And so as a judge, your heart changed.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was really harsh on people who were committing crimes and doing drugs at the same time. Lawyers didn't want to appear in front of me. In fact, some of them were even affidavitting me because I was so harsh. But God started to change my heart. He started to tenderize my heart. And just made a huge change. And so then I became the drug court judge in Washington County. We set up a drug court there, the first one in Washington County. And my whole reason was my daughter, Megan, had become a drug addict. And we were estranged, but once in a while we'd have a conversation or I'd take her out to dinner. And she was a methamphetamine addict. One hit on methamphetamine, it's one of the most the worst drug you can get involved in. And so she became a methamphetamine addict in about 2004, 2005.
Wow. I mean, you know, when it's so interesting when people talk about law and order, we want justice and we want, you know, and sometimes we want tough justice and other times we need something like the opposite. And this doesn't mean being lenient toward crime, but it means a different approach toward criminals. For you to go from being a feared tough judge to this other kind of judge, it doesn't strike me that this is, you know, bleeding heart liberalism. This is something far deeper.
Yeah.
So talk about that if you could.
Well, people need to be accountable for what they do, and when you're in the criminal justice system, you're going to be held accountable for what you do, what crimes you commit. But there's also the idea of what happens after that. You know, how do you restore that defendant back into the community? And this is the whole idea behind restorative justice. It's making that defendant whole again, looking at the victim's needs, bringing that defendant back into the community and bringing and making the community safe. And so that was part of the idea behind the drug court that I set up in Washington County. In the meantime, my wife and I were still praying. I was praying that Megan would get caught and brought into the criminal justice system. She needed to be held accountable by either a probation officer or a judge.
And then
on July 21st of
How old was your daughter when she was murdered?
21.
21.
Yeah.
My daughter's 20. So as I said, when I read your story, I thought, boy, this is the ultimate. There aren't words. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to know how people deal with this. I've seen a little bit of how you've dealt with it, and it's so beautiful. It's so impressive that I felt it was really important for my audience to hear your story. So I don't know what you can say about your daughter's death, but take us through what you can.
Yeah. So there was a knock on the door about 11 p.m. on July 21st, and I saw some people outside the door that one person I recognized and two other strangers, and I let them in. I knew something was wrong at that point, and they told me, "Judge, sit down. Megan was murdered earlier today." So, you know, parents' worst nightmare became a reality for me, and I don't know what I would have done without Jesus Christ in my life. You either turn to God in a situation like that, or you turn away. If you turn away, there are consequences to that. But I was, you know, because of my community that I was in and the church that I was going to, I had so much prayer support. I was back on the bench after 2 weeks, I think people thought I was on drugs or something because I was able to come back so quickly with that. But it was about a year later, the police arrested the man who murdered my daughter. They charged him with aggravated murder. He was looking at the death penalty. And it was really interesting because I had so much sorrow and despair and hopelessness in my heart. I didn't have any room for hatred or anger or resentment towards the person who had murdered my daughter. And Jesus Christ just gave me a gift. He gave me the gift of forgiveness before I even prayed for it. And so I was able to forgive through the power and presence of Jesus Christ, the man who murdered my daughter, before I even knew who he was. So they arrested him in June of 2007, about a year later. And then 2 years later, there was a trial in a neighboring county. So,
when people talk about forgiveness, I think there's nothing less understood than real forgiveness. People confuse it with really dismissing the crime or the sin, and it's precisely the opposite. And it's always difficult for people to get that because they don't really understand what it means to forgive. It seems obvious that in his unfathomable mystery, God prepared you in your own life for this horror, this mystery that lay ahead, and that apart from God, you know, I can tell you what I would do if I didn't know God and my daughter were murdered. I'd murder some people and then kill myself probably, and that's pretty natural reaction. And if ever you needed God, it's when something like this happens. When we come back, I want to hear the whole story, folks. This is really important. I'm talking to Judge Tom Cole, don't go away.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. A Justice Department watchdog report finds the FBI did not act with political bias despite serious performance failures up the Bureau's chain of command in opening its investigation into ties between the Trump presidential campaign and Russia. The House Judiciary's second public hearing on the impeachment inquiry continuing. The committee is hearing evidence provided by investigators from three House committees looking into the foreign policy of President Trump. Former Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker has died at the age of 92. Russia has been slapped with a 4-year ban from international sports events, including next summer's Tokyo Olympics, over a long-standing doping scandal, although its athletes will still be able to compete if they can show that they are clean competitors. This is SRN News.
You might wonder why Australians always seem so relaxed. Well, it comes down to sleep. And we can sleep like a koala full of gum leaves. So we've invented a solution to your sleep problems. It's called Pronto Sleep. Pronto Sleep is a 2-in-1 solution that helps you fall asleep and stay asleep. Pronto gently opens your nose to focus breathing so you can relax and fall into the land of nod. And the built-in scent diffuser delivers a blend of 4 pure essential oils all night long for a beaut sleep naturally. Then Pronto replenishes the oils ready for the next night. Clever, eh? And does it work? Well, in trials, 84% of people with trouble sleeping found Pronto helped them fall asleep. 74% found it helped them stay asleep. You'll find Pronto now at select Walgreens, Amazon, or at prontosleep.com. Pronto Sleep is the gift of sleep from Australia.
From RhinoMed, bringing you advanced nasal therapies.
Hi, this is Dennis Prager, and again, the Prager Store has put together something new. They have compiled every male-female hour since 2010. We've had topics and calls about marriage, kids, dating, intimacy, fidelity, the truths about what a woman needs, what a man needs. Also includes every segment with my friend and relationship expert, Alison Armstrong. I've done this segment for years. Now you can listen to all of them dating back to 2010. These hours have literally saved marriages. I wish I could read to you all the emails I have received and what people tell me at every speech. A couple will come over with a smile and thank me for what the male-female hour has done for their marriage. Or even gotten people to get married to begin with. For a limited time, the complete collection, 10 years of the male-female hour, available on flash drives or as a download. Go to PragerStore.com.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight. We're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking about something really important and really, really beautiful. I'm talking to Judge Tom Cole, who wrote a book, which you can get. It's called Losing Megan, Finding Hope, Comfort, and Forgiveness in the Midst of Murder. I just want to continue the story, Judge Cole. So let's keep going. I mean, this is it's an amazing thing that even before you knew who had done this grievous act, in your heart, you found forgiveness. How does, you know, I think everybody wants to ask someone like you, how is that possible?
That was a supernatural event because, as I mentioned, knowing me, if you knew me before that, you would think this man is vindictive. You know, he would be resentful. He would do something about this. But, you know, it's something I didn't ask for, and Jesus just gave me that gift. I don't know how to explain it, but he just gave me that gift of forgiveness before I even asked for it. It was an amazing process in and of itself. I know that there was a trial in a local county there, an aggravated murder trial. The man, his first name is Robert. He pled not guilty, and so there was a six-week trial. And I stayed away from that trial because I was the presiding judge in Washington County at that time. I didn't want to be a distraction there in the courtroom. And so the DA would call me every night and tell me how things were going. I was asked to come and testify, though. After the jury found him guilty, I testified at the sentencing phase of the trial. And so I was able to go and tell the jury the impact of the loss of my daughter on my family and me, and then talk to Robert and tell him how I felt about that. And so it's a very odd circumstance to be in when you are a judge and you're called to the witness stand to testify in your daughter's murder trial.
I mean, it sounds like something out of a movie, basically. It's that level of hyper-reality, surreality. How did your forgiveness of him in your heart manifest itself when you did testify, or did it? Did that come into it at that point?
Yeah, it did. I was able to talk about the loss, and then I was able to speak to Robert directly. And, you know, and I told him essentially, I said, you know, Robert, you're going to have to make a choice one of these days. You're going to have to make a choice between heaven and hell, and there is an eternity. And I hope you make that right choice and choose God. And then I told him, I said, you know, I forgave you before I even knew your name, and it was only through the power and presence of Jesus in my life that I was able to forgive you. At the end of that testimony, I was crying, Robert was crying, and several members of the jury were crying. And so after that, he was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, and that's where the book comes into play on that. So,
well, you know, it's interesting because when I first came to faith, one of my heroes in the faith was Chuck Colson, who founded Prison Fellowship. So I have more than a passing interest in these subjects. And I don't know if it was through Chuck or through some other circumstance that I met Burl Kane, who was the warden down in Angola prison. I mentioned him in the earlier segment. But when people are faced with life imprisonment without the possibility of parole, it's an interesting situation because they have the time to think about eternity, the meaning of life. When you think about it, that's the ultimate test of a culture, is how it treats its prisoners and these kind of people. So, you know, how did this affect you as a judge. And I know you founded a nonprofit organization recently, 2 years ago, called Paid in Full Oregon. So let's talk a little bit about that, because there are so many people in prisons who have no hope. They're just doing time. So what has happened in your life with regard to them?
Yeah, so the book began that process. I felt God was calling me to write a book about Megan. And so I began that process of writing the book, and I ended up finishing the book in November. It was published in November 2012. What happened was, when I finished writing the book, I thought I was done, but God wanted me to write one more chapter. He wanted me to go visit Robert in prison. And so that was the first time I had ever been in prison. Robert was serving in Eastern Oregon, serving some time, or began his sentence there in Eastern Oregon. And so I went in to the prison. I had an hour to be with him. We had a conference room. It was only through a series of miracles that I was able to meet with him in the first place. A sitting judge coming in who's in meeting with a man who murdered his daughter. There were just so many rules and regulations that would have prohibited that, but God got rid of all of those, and so we had a chance to meet for an hour. And I began speaking with him. I talked to him, and we weren't allowed to talk about the case because he was appealing it. And so I began at 1:30, spoke with him for a few minutes, looked up at the clock. It was 1:35, began to ask some more questions. He had a daughter, asked about his daughter. And I was done with asking him questions. I was done with the conversation. I was done. I was physically exhausted, emotionally spent. And I looked at the clock, and it was 1:45. And so we still had 45 minutes to spend if I decided to do that. And so I asked Robert. I just felt God prompting me. I asked Robert, I said, "Do you have any questions for me?" And he looked at me, and he bowed his head, and he started to cry. And he said, "I'm sorry." And I knew exactly what he was talking about when he was said, "I'm sorry." And Robert said, "Judge, how can you be so kind to me?"
I'm going to, because we have to go to a break, let's hit pause there. This is too important. We'll be right back, folks. Don't go away.
Mother and child, holy infant.
Hey, folks, Eric Metaxas here. Now, for years, I've been telling you about the 3-week quick start pack that you can get from Relief Factor for under $20, that it's the smart way to go if you're struggling with back and neck pain or shoulder, hip, or knee pain. In fact, I've told you that about 70% of the people who order the 3-week quick start pack go on to order more. But why is it that the 30% don't go on to order more? Well, when Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of Relief Factor, surveyed that 30%, many of them admitted that they never gave it a legitimate try. They maybe took one packet a day for a few days and then skipped a day or two, or they didn't do what the doctors who created it recommended, which is 3 packets a day for a full week and then 2 packets a day for the next 2 weeks. That's the 3-week quick start. So when you order the 3-week quick start for just $19.95, tell yourself you'll do what the doctors have recommended. Let's make sure you're happy and in the 70% that is in less or no pain at all. I am in that group. Folks, this stuff can be at your house in just 2 to 3 days. Go to relieffactor.com. I do recommend it. I do use it. Relieffactor.com.
There is a battle being fought right here in America. The radical left is trying to silence anyone who disagrees with them. They want to shut you up.
I'm Dennis Prager. There's no more important issue facing America today. If we can't speak freely, we can't be heard.
But one film is fighting back. No Safe Spaces.
Every American should see this.
See No Safe Spaces, only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Go to nosafespaces.com for tickets.
Shopping online this holiday season? Finding the perfect gift from your computer, tablet, or smartphone is a breeze. Just a few taps, and you're done. But all that online shopping, it could expose your personal information and leave you potentially vulnerable to identity theft. And you may miss certain identity threats by just monitoring your credit, like someone selling your info on the dark web or taking an online payday loan in your name. Good thing there's LifeLock. They monitor your personal information, and if you have a problem with identity theft, they work to fix it. Of course, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But LifeLock offers something that's perfect for the holidays and beyond. Not having to worry if identity theft happens to you. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year. Go to LifeLock.com and use promo code SMART. That's promo code SMART at LifeLock.com to save 25% off.
Hi, this is Dennis Prager, and we just launched a new Pragertopia membership called Pragertopia Unlimited. Members can listen to any and all audio programs that are in the Dennis Prager store. That's over 400 programs to choose from. Show segments, talks, lectures, courses, even full access to all 5 books of my Torah teaching. For a limited time, an annual Pragertopia Unlimited membership is only $119. Join Pragertopia Unlimited today. Go to Pragertopia.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers, and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel.
Hey, folks, I'm talking to Judge Tom Cole. Tom, you were just talking about this incredibly moving moment. You're meeting with with the murderer of your daughter, and he bows his head, and say again what he was saying, because this is just, you know, it's just so moving.
Yeah, I asked him, you know, if he had any questions for me, and that's when he bowed his head and began to cry. Yeah, I later found out from one of the guards there that they'd never seen him cry before. That was the first time. And so he said, "I'm sorry," and I knew he was referring to the fact that he had murdered my daughter. And that we couldn't talk about the case, but I knew what he was referring to. And then he said, "How can you be so kind to me?" And at that point, then, I knew exactly where I needed to go, where God wanted me to go, because the next 45 minutes flew by in a flash, and I was able to bring the gospel message to him and talk about Jesus Christ in that personal relationship. In Revelation 3:20, where Jesus is outside knocking on the door and saying, "If you open the door and let me come in, I'll come in and dine with you and you with me." And that was Jesus' personal invitation to have a relationship with him. And so in the end, I was able to pray for him. And he left the room at 2:30. We filled up that full hour, and it was just an amazing experience. God came crashing down through the walls of the prison there.
Yeah. Well, what could be more beautiful than the idea that this man who's killed your daughter is sitting there in tears and saying, "How can you be so kind to me?" That's itself so moving, because it echoes in all of our hearts. How can God be so kind to us?
Right. Yeah.
It hits us. Yeah. How can you be so kind to us?
Yeah.
And, there it is. We're in the Christmas season here. That's what it's all about. But it's rare that it's tied up with a bow like this. I mean, it's so extraordinary. So after that, you published the book Losing Megan, Finding Hope, Comfort and Forgiveness in the Midst of Murder. And what happened at that point? Because you have founded this nonprofit organization.
Yeah. So I thought I was writing the book for parents who had lost children through tragic circumstances or loved ones through tragic circumstances. And I was, that was one of God's purpose. But another purpose God had for that book was that it became the key that opened the door for me to speak in prisons. And so I started speaking in prisons in Oregon about Jesus Christ, forgiveness, hope, and comfort. And I traveled around several prisons in Oregon. Then I went to Washington. And then I started traveling around the country. I would contact prisons. "Hey, I want to come and talk to the inmates and give them a message of hope." And they started inviting me. I ended up finding out about a prison in Louisiana called Angola Prison. And I called Burl Kane. He had no idea who I was. I called and left a message on his phone. I said, "Hey, this is Judge Cole from Oregon. I'd love to come down and talk to the men there in your prison." And I never thought he'd call back, but he did, like 3 days later. And he said, "Judge, come on down." And he said, "Bring your wife with you." And so my wife looked up on the internet about it, Angola, and it's an amazing place. I mean, it sits on 18,000 acres. It's surrounded by the Mississippi River on three sides. It used to be the bloodiest, most violent maximum security prison in the United States until Burl Cain came there in 1995. He invited the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary to come in and set up a seminary there, and it changed the whole culture of the prison. They had around 5,000 inmates there. They had a main prison and five satellite prisons on the grounds. And it just, it was amazing what it had done. And so my wife and I went down there in the fall of 2013, and we had a four-day stay there on the prison grounds. And I met Burl Cain and some other people there and spoke to the inmates several times. They had a general chapel one time. And it changed my life. It changed my perspective. I knew what God wanted me to do. I sensed what God wanted me to do with this. So I continued to go back down to Angola. Burl and I became good friends. And I was with him one day, and I prayed for him. And I was getting up to leave. And he said, no, Judge, sit down. I want to pray for you. He said, bow your head, close your eyes, and sit down. And so when the warden of a maximum security prison tells you to what, bow your heads, sit down, close your eyes, you do, and I did. And this was his prayer. He said, dear Lord, don't let this man rest until they have a Bible college in the Oregon Department of Corrections. Amen. And I said, warden, why would you ever pray that prayer for me? I thought we were friends. You know, I thought we were good friends. And why would you want me to have no rest until that happens? Because you know Oregon, right? And you know Oregon's one of the most unchurched states in the country. This will never happen in Oregon. It's an impossibility. And the warden looked at me and he says, Judge, in a southern drawl, he says, who do we worship? And I said, yeah, the God of the impossible. So that planted a seed. God was speaking to me through Burl, and that planted a seed in my heart to come back to Oregon to see what I could do about that. So the first person I met was the director of corrections, Colette Peters, and asked her about going to Angola. You know, would you like to see what's happened there? She knew about Angola. And she said, yes. I said, we're going to have a field trip in January. So I ended up taking a bunch of legislators and people from the Attorney General's office, Department of Justice, and we went down and had a field trip in Angola in January of 2015. These people thought they were going to prison, but they were really going to church. They didn't realize it. And so they would speak to inmates in the prison, students who were going to Angola University or Angola Seminary there. And this is a story they would hear from those students. When I was in New Orleans or Baton Rouge committing crimes and doing drugs, I was in prison. And it wasn't until I was sent to Angola prison and came to the seminary that I became free. So on the outside, they're in prison, and on the inside, they were free. And so this really impressed the Oregon people. And we came back, and a year later, the DOC said, Judge, we're interested in this.
So, wow. I mean, the reason this is so shocking is because we know how hostile people in the culture can be to anything having to do with faith. And I know that Burl Cain has really struggled over the years because people, not everybody cares what works. Some people just have an ideology, mm-hmm. and they don't really care if faith works. They're hostile to it. He has managed to navigate that brilliantly with God's help. And you're doing the same thing in a place a heck of a lot tougher than Louisiana, if I may say so. And real people are being blessed and helped, and it's just a wonderful thing. So I want to continue this conversation with you. Is there a website, paidinfulloregon.org?
That's it.
Okay. Folks, go to paidinfulloregon.org, paidinfulloregon.org. And we will be right back with Judge Tom Cole. Out of sight.
Have yourself. So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. 844-45-BIBLE.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. A U.S. senator says the IG report on the FBI surveillance of the Trump campaign in 2016 won't be fully understood until the Senate hears directly from its author this week. Capitol Hill correspondent Bob Agnew has more in this report.
Senator Lindsey Graham says people should avoid drawing their own conclusions until his Judiciary Committee questions DOJ Inspector General Michael Horowitz on Wednesday. Graham believes a thorough review of the IG findings will prove what he calls a justice system off the rails, what he calls members of the Department of Justice and FBI taking the law into their own hands. He believes Wednesday's hearing and the ongoing Criminal Justice Department investigation will prove the FBI began its probe based on political motives. Bob Agnew reporting.
On Wall Street, stocks remain lower. The Dow is off 68 points and the Nasdaq down 18. This is SRN News.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-880-7474. That's 1-800-880-7474. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-880-7474.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
I wonder if those neighing horses were actually in the studio when they recorded that song. We're never going to find out. I'm having a wonderful conversation with Judge Tom Cole, who's written a book, Losing Megan, Finding Hope, Comfort, and Forgiveness in the Midst of Murder, and who's founded this nonprofit we're discussing now called Paid in Full Oregon, and the website is paidinfulloregon.com. So what happened? You said within a year, the folks in Oregon were open to this idea, and what happened? What year was that?
They were in 2016. So I retired as a full-time sitting judge on January 1st of 2016. Unbeknownst to me, Burl Cain retired on the same day in the same year, and it has a neat consequence down the road. But anyway, so I started. I went on a vacation, a retirement vacation. I was in Costa Rica, got an email from a friend saying, hey, the DOC is interested in allowing you to invite a Christian university to come in and set up a full four-year college degree program in one of their prisons. I could not get back to the United States quick enough because I'd been working on this. This seed had been planted 4 years before. So I came back, and one of the first things we needed to do was I set up a nonprofit. 2017 was when I set up the nonprofit. But so we had to find a Christian university that would be willing to do something like that. Christian universities are short on cash these days. They're not going to want to take on a new program like this. So God, I sense God was telling me that I would tell a president that we would be willing to reimburse them, the nonprofit that I started, reimburse them for all their costs associated with setting up a new college extension in prison. So
right.
I met with the president of Corbin University, Sheldon Nord, And he said he'd be willing to give it a shot.
And where is Corbin University?
Corbin University is in Salem. Now, Corbin sits within 5 miles of three separate state prisons in Oregon. One is Oregon State Penitentiary. The other is Santiam Correctional Institution. And the one where we have the college now is Oregon State Correctional Institution, OSCI, which is about 4.5 miles from Corbin University. So they said yes. The DOC had said yes, and I thought we were going to be put in some education wing at OSCI, and we weren't. They gave us actually 3,300 square feet of classroom space, and they said, this is yours. You can do it here, but you'll need to construct the classrooms, and you'll need to pay for all the costs involved, which I wanted to do anyway. I mean, we didn't want any state money on this. We wanted to raise the money. So that began the process of beginning to really pray about where's this money going to come from, because this is a startup nonprofit paid in full Oregon. We have no history. We enter into a funding agreement with Corbin University and agree to reimburse them for all of their costs associated with this, plus a 10% administrative fee that they wanted. And then we have to pay for the costs of the remodel of the classroom at OSCI, Oregon State Correctional Institution. So before we could even do that, we had to come up with $44,500 for an architect, because we had to hire
I want to hear the rest of the story. Fortunately, we've locked the doors, and you're going to stay with us for one more segment. Folks, at the beginning of hour two, we'll continue the conversation with Judge Tom Cole. And in the meantime, Judge Tom Cole, thank you. This is so terrific.
Just all right.